John Gibson.
Well, in this Christmas season, in Hanukkah season, and for that matter, Hajj season.
Wiccan.
The Wiccans got something going on, too?
Uh-huh.
What is it?
They're worshiping a turnip or something.
I wish you all a happy holidays. Thank you for your attendance. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. For those lucky enough to go to Crawford, perhaps I'll see you down there.
You know, I came under a strong attack last year for my book, The War on Christmas. And for a long time, I was confused about who it was that was attacking me. And I finally figured out it was the atheists. And the reason I know this is that they have published a series of books this year. And they've kind of come out of the closet, as it were, and identified themselves as card-carrying atheists who will no longer put up with any discussion about God. One of the key books in this area is called The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins, who is a Brit scientist. There's another one called The End of Faith by Sam Harris, who's an American philosopher. He wrote a second one called A Letter to a Christian Nation. And in these books, these authors, these atheist authors, try to demolish the idea of faith. And what they say is, and this is why I was getting attacked over Christmas last year, because I was saying, look, you know, I'm not a member of anybody's congregation. I'm not a regular church goer. I do identify myself as a Christian. I think of myself as a Christian. But, you know, I'm not one of your fundamentalists. But, you know, you people have to stop kicking these Christians around. They're having their big holiday. It's called Christmas. Leave them alone. But these atheists want to kick them around. So this year, they're all out, as I said, out of the closet, declaring themselves and declaring their enmity for believers. One of the things Sam Harris does is go over some of the, you know, most violent and hateful aspects of the Quran, in which, you know, non-believers must be killed and all this kind of thing, and makes a case that it's not a religion of peace, and then takes the conclusions about Islam and transfers them over to Christianity and says, them too. Well, now Dawkins and his people have also now come up with something that maybe you will find shocking. It's called the Blasphemy Challenge.
I deny God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
I deny the Holy Spirit and Jesus.
I deny the Holy Spirit.
The Rational Response Squad wants you to make a short video declaring your independence from the Stone Age. Shoot your video and upload it to YouTube, and we'll send you a free copy of the hit documentary, The God Who Wasn't There, on DVD.
So the Blasphemy Challenge encourages young people to get in front of a camera, say, I don't believe. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. I don't believe in the prophet. I don't believe in Islam. I don't believe in any of these things that are held to be higher powers or creators or that sort of thing. It's called the Blasphemy Challenge. And I suppose kids are taking them up on this and submitting their blasphemy to YouTube so all the world can see.
I deny the Holy Spirit, and I'm not afraid.
And there we got a five-year-old. This is what Sam Harris makes his case in A Letter to a Christian Nation, that that faith is so wrong, it is so unreasonable, it is so without merit. Parents who have been burdened by the superstition by their parents should not be allowed to pass this superstition on to their kids. And Sam Harris is quite militant about it. I mean, you could see if he were in charge, if he were the decider, he would decide against any religious exercise at all. Now, joining me on the phone, I guess we would call him the blasphemer-in-chief. Brian Fleming joins us from Los Angeles. He's the president of Beyond Belief Media and director of The God Who Wasn't There, which is the prize you get if you upload your video declaring yourself to be, a non-believer.
I deny the Holy Spirit, and I'm not afraid.
So, Brian, what is the point of all this?
Well, first off, Merry Christmas, John.
And Merry Christmas.
The point of the Blasphemy Challenge is really to provoke a conversation about religion that takes place on the same playing field that other subjects take place on. For example, in when you discuss most subjects, you just say science or math or politics. Usually the process is somebody makes a claim, and then other people are allowed to question that claim and find out whether it's true. But religion, we completely exclude from that process. People are allowed to say the most outlandish things if they're religious in nature, and nobody's allowed to question those claims in the same way they would any other claim.
Yeah,
and the Blasphemy Challenge breaks that taboo.
Right, but Brian, this is one of the most, and by and large, by the way, just by and large, you would not call me much of a, I'd be a little threadbare in the faithful department. You know, I don't attend anybody's church. I'm highly suspicious of humans who make claims about what God does or doesn't want to do. Nonetheless, I find this a little on the preposterous side that you, Dawkins, Sam Harris, and others insist that faith stand up to reason. And when from the get-go, you know, faith is beyond reason. It is not subservient to reason. It's separate and apart.
I think it would be great if Christians admitted that what they believe is fiction and what they believe
is
false.
That isn't what I'm saying. I'm saying that your human reason, that your powers of cognition may be very impressive, may get you places at, you know, as an Oxford don and get you PhDs and so forth, but they're, you know, they just don't have anything to do with faith.
Well, you mentioned Dawkins in particular. I fully understand why Dawkins is as upset with religion as he is, because he is an evolutionary biologist, and his actual field of study that talks about the real world is being attacked by religious zealots who claim that they're making claims that are just as valid as his. So it's not as if religion does leave alone those fields that depend on evidence and reason. What they do is they just exclude themselves from any criticism.
Right, but why would you want to interfere with the faithful? What is it that they're doing to you that causes so much harm?
I think that religion essentially degrades our national dialogue, because what it does is it creates a cop-out. Anything you want to believe,
oh, really?
For example, say, for example, you...
Really? You mean if I remove religion, I don't get this?
The world is filled with pimps and hoes.
I don't get this?
Use my home.
I don't get this? I don't get this?
No Cadillac, no perms you can't see.
I don't get this? I mean, you know, the society devoted.
Are you asking me if I just am making the claims you just made?
It seems to me that a world devoid of religion leads to a very seems to me a very chaotic society.
You think
society.
The world of hip hop is devoid of religion?
Well, I don't hear much religion in "You a Ho" and "I'm a Pimp."
Well,
booty.
You could perhaps ask the old Jewish temple that used to have temple prostitutes about hoes and pimps. I don't really know, but I mean, as far as the world of hip hop being devoid of religion, so those are some of the most religious people there are, and they compare themselves to Jesus sometimes. So I didn't come here to defend.
All right, but this is
case.
You know, I've been making a case, Brian, for a while, that this is the year of the angry atheist, the Dawkins, Sam Harris. Barry Lynn, who describes himself as a reverend, which seems to me a little off the mark, but and now you, that the angry atheists are out of the closet and they're putting religion under attack.
Yeah, I would say it's certainly atheism isn't getting more visible, but it's probably been the year of the misrepresentation of atheists, just as you did with regard to Sam Harris claiming that if he were in charge, he would outlaw the religious instruction of children.
I mean,
he used the word allowed to refer to what he would see. He wouldn't allow people to teach religion, and that's not at all what he's saying.
Well, wait a second, Brian. I've just finished for the third time reading A Letter to a Christian Nation, and Sam Harris is very harsh about religion.
Blunt about religion.
He's harsh. He's more than blunt. He's harsh. And he leaves one with the impression, it's not a very hard book to read. He certainly leaves one with the impression that this whole religious scheme, whether it's Islam or Christianity, or Judaism for that matter, would just be outside of an allowable world as far as he's concerned.
Well, I disagree with you. If you are an authoritarian and you imagine that anything you believe you would impose on other people, maybe so. But Sam Harris is
not an authoritarian.
Kind of authoritarian.
Well, we will agree to disagree on that. I say,
well, I
Sam Harris says
you
may not.
Book and
well, I don't have it in front of me, but I'll quote book and verse tomorrow.
Say that. I've read it.
I've read it too, and he says it really is an imposition to teach this stuff to one's own children.
Yet he does criticize that. I criticize that too. I think that teaching
a child
he must believe in, say, for example, that 2,000 years ago a man died, stayed dead for 3 days, rose from the dead, walked around for a while, flew up into the air above the clouds, but also right now he's with you as your invisible companion and will save you from hell. I don't think that's a good thing to teach children.
I think they
should be able to make their own conclusions
really,
about whether that's true.
So the basic tenets of Christianity you think are bad things to teach children.
I think a child should be able to decide
if
for
you
himself.
If you think those are bad things to teach children, then why shouldn't I conclude that you don't want children taught those things?
I don't want the government.
Yeah, never mind the government. This doesn't have anything to do with the government. This has to do with individuals.
Right.
We're past
if a
government.
If you ask me my recommendation, I would say teach them about all religions.
No,
and
that's not what I asked you. I asked you, did you think that religion should not be allowed to be taught to children?
No, I think that's not true. Allowed implies some kind of a rule, kind of a law.
Yeah.
And I don't think that religion should be legislated. I think we should talk about it. I think that pressure should be brought to bear in the social sphere like you and I are doing, having a conversation about whether these fantastical stories are true or false so that people can decide for themselves rather than being indoctrinated and rather than having religion to be completely, you know,
what is the point of taking kids and having them actually commit blasphemy?
That's true. I think that kids would be kind of a stretch in
young people. Listen to this.
I deny God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
Young voice. Young voice.
The Rational Response Squad wants you to make a short video declaring your independence from the Stone Age. Shoot your video and upload it to YouTube, and we'll send you a free copy of the hit documentary, The God Who Wasn't There, on DVD.
Aimed at young people.
I deny the Holy Spirit.
At really young people. At really young people.
Yeah, that last one is actually the child of a member of the Rational Response Squad who wanted to do that. But as far as if you look on blasphemychallenge.com, you see people are usually older than 15. So if you want to call that kids, sure, I'll call that kids. I'll agree with you that we can call those kids. But
what is your argument that Jesus didn't exist?
The argument is actually a positive argument that the earliest Christians, the very first Christians, actually didn't believe in a historical Jesus. The records we have indicate they believed in a Savior God who was like many of the other Savior gods at the time, who existed up in a mythical realm. And the historical details about Jesus actually got added much later with the Gospels and other documents that were written later. But the first Christians didn't believe in a historical Jesus.
You don't believe there was a person?
No, I think the evidence suggests that it didn't develop that way. It developed from a mythical Christ who then became historicized over a long period of time. And I lay out the evidence in the movie. It's not just something, you know, I invented. And many scholars have looked at the evidence and come to the same conclusion.
So what do you hope to accomplish to de-Christianize America?
I hope that we get more reason in America. I hope that when someone says, as I said, that, you know, a guy died and stayed dead for 3 days, flew into the air, and also he's with you all around you right now, that we say, well, wait a second, let's question this. How could that be true? If we get to that point,
All of existence can be encompassed by your power of reasoning?
I don't even understand that question. All of existence can be
encompassed. There's nothing beyond your power of reasoning. There's no world beyond what you can reason and understand. That your human brain is as good as it gets in the power of comprehension.
Well, let me put it this way: there are completely unanswered questions right now. Like, for example, where did the universe come from? Why is there something rather than nothing?
How did life start?
I don't have answers to those questions, but here's what I know. The book of Genesis is not a sensible answer to that question.
Well, but that's beside the point. I mean,
that's actually the point.
No, it isn't, because there are many people of faith who don't take the book of Genesis literally, and you are telling them that their faith is phony and that their powers of reason eclipse their powers of faith.
So far, all you've told me about these people is they don't believe the book of Genesis. They believe it's false. And if that's true, I don't know where their faith is.
Well, you can believe it's allegory. You can believe it's a human's telling of what is otherwise a a story of faith. I mean, basically, you can believe, Brian, that somebody with Brian Fleming's power of reasoning sat down and wrote this thing.
That
doesn't mean that the truths there are false.
Well, it means it's a story that's just like, say, a story about Zeus or Poseidon. It belongs on the book of mythology. And if a Christian says, I'm a Christian, but I think that the Bible is mythology, I don't really have any dispute. Go ahead. You know, a Christian in that case just means I'm kind of a Bible fan, and I have no problem with that. The Bible's good literature.
Angry atheists are on the march. Brian Fleming's one of them. Brian, thanks very much. They want to de-Christianize you. 888-788-9910.